Okay, let's open with a word of prayer before we get into the message today. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I give Thee praise and I give Thee thanks, Lord. Praise because of who You are, and thanks because of who I have become because of who You are, Lord. Lord God, thank You for Your blessed Son's finished work on that cruel cross at Calvary, that my sins are all under that blood, that I've been given that clearance that I need, knowing that one day, I know not when, but that one day, I'll be before Thee in glory, in Thy heavenly kingdom, and what a day that will be. Oh, Lord, I pray that everyone who listens to this message today, that if they're not really saved, have any doubt in their minds whatsoever, that they'll get saved without giving it another thought, Lord. Because tomorrow is promised to no one. Please, Lord, give me utterance. Prepare the hearts of the listener. For I thank You in Jesus' wonderful name. Wonderful, wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, the title I've given my message, it speaks for itself. I call it The Great Preparation. The Great Preparation. Tell me, are you prepared? Are you prepared for glory? Are you prepared for the heavenly place that God is preparing for you? Are you? Or are you just wandering about? Are you just wandering about thinking, well, you know, I'm as good as the next guy. I mean, after all, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't hurt any children. I didn't steal, rob, or any banks, anything like that. No, I'm as good as the next guy, so why shouldn't I go to heaven? Well, before this message is finished, perhaps you'll get an idea of what God really expects of you. And it's not as much as you might think. It's very simple. Okay? So, now I want you to imagine for the moment. Imagine for the moment you're at the starting line of a race, okay? You know, you're out there on the track and you're at the starting line. You're digging in. You see the starter pistol being raised above the starter's head. You get the picture now? Now, you've never run this race before. It's important. Very important. It's the race of your life. You will never get another chance, most likely, to run this race. All right? Okay. Now, you've followed all the instructions, right down to the smallest detail. Okay? You worked hard. You trained hard for it. Now, you are prepared. Or you are prepared. Yes, you are. You're being prepared to meet thy God. Okay, now this, you can tell now it's a different kind of race, isn't it? It's a race for the soul, that's what it is. Not a race for the medals. Today is the first day of the rest of your future. The first day to the rest of your future. Now, in the book of Amos, chapter 4, I just want to begin with a bit of scripture there, if you'll please listen. We read Amos chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. The Word of God says, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me. Talking about Israel, right? Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Now verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Wow, that's his warning to Israel. Hey, God is getting tired with them fooling around, you know, and ignoring who he is and taking him for granted in some issues. No. Israel has to be prepared. Israel is God's chosen people, but he's not going to give them free entry. You know what I'm saying? Of course you do. I call my message The Great Preparation. the great preparation that's come. Are you prepared? I'm prepared. Oh, yes, I'm prepared. Took me a long time, but I'm there. Only what's done for God will last. We got that? Only what's done for God will last. So it is with us. Are we prepared to meet God's judgment? There's a question for you. Are you prepared to meet God's judgment? Have you accepted His terms and conditions? Have you? Have you repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Oh, have you? Well, then you can run the race with confidence if you have. Yes, sir. All the requirements have been met. If you can say yes to all these questions. Meet you at the finish line. Huh? Oh, yes. Your room is reserved. Your room is reserved. Isn't that a comforting thought? So it is when you come to a railway crossing that spans life with eternity. Okay? The apex that defines heaven and hell. You've come there. You've arrived there. You have prepared to meet your God. Have you? But have you told others that they too must make the same journey? That they are at that railway crossing as well. They must cross that great divide. They must. You have run the race yourself. You have finished the course. But what about those you met along the way? What about them? Those who... Did they finish? Did they finish the race for redemption? Huh? Are you sure? Or have they fallen by the wayside and got set aside by Satan's darts? Oh, you know them by their fruit, right? Have you told them about the necessary preparation to meet Jesus at the crossroads? Have you? You know, there's only one time for you to prepare to meet God. One time. And that time is now. Now. After you've heard this message and you realize you have not received Christ as your personal Savior, you had better do it and do it fast. Look around you. The world is in terrible, terrible turmoil. Things are going crazy all over. You look around and sin is being received almost with great applause. Sin that we would never, ever stand for even 10 years ago. But now it's being allowed. Children being raped. Oh, goodness gracious. You know, what you do unto the least of these, God said you do unto Him. Whoa. You know, there's only one time for you to prepare to meet God. That time is now. Now. Tomorrow, believe me, tomorrow is promised to no one. No one. In the book of Hebrews, we are told today, excuse me, there's that frog again. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now. A man once said, tomorrow I will decide for Christ. Okay? After he was witnessed to. But tonight is for me and the boys. Well, unfortunately, tomorrow never came. He was killed in a car wreck on his 17th birthday. Only hours before he had planned to give his life over to Christ. See, you don't plan to give your life to Christ. You just do it. Your plans may not come true. Something can happen, like that accident. The Bible teaches that Christ died for us, that we could be cleansed in His righteousness. And in so doing, find eternal peace in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God. When God forsook His only begotten Son on that cruel cross, He did it so that we might never be forsaken. Never be forsaken. Once you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you will never be forsaken. You can't lose it. It can never be taken away from you. Once you're in, you're in. Okay? Isn't that a comforting thought? Oh, yes. He took our place. And by His shed blood, we are set free. All our iniquities are covered by His precious blood. My friends, always, always bear in mind, always bear in mind, only by His shed blood could we be set free from the sin that doth so easily beset us. Only by His shed blood. No other blood. No other way. Only through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. All our iniquities are taken care of. And we are eligible to enter into His heavenly kingdom. I know a man once said, "Well, tomorrow I will decide for Christ." That night he was killed. A young girl once said, tomorrow is the day of our wedding. That night, she was dead. A man said, "I will wait until the special services next Sunday at my church when we have the invitation." But guess what? Next Sunday, he was already 2 days in the grave. Oh, the story is told about a steamship. A steamship, you may have heard of it, called the Central America. It was on a voyage from New York to San Francisco. And it sprang a leak in the mid-ocean. Now, seeing that picture in your mind is not a pretty one to see, is it? No, when you think of the Titanic and all that. Anyway, it sprang a leak in mid-ocean. This is the way the story is told. Another ship, seeing her distress, came alongside, and the captain of the rescue ship, being aware of the other ship's distress, he offered his assistance, which is only normal, to remove the passengers from the sinking vessel. But since it was dark, and it seemed so difficult to do so, the captain of the endangered ship ordered a stand down until morning. Have you got that? He ordered a stand down. "No, don't worry about it. We're okay until the morning." Again, the captain of the rescue ship pleaded practically that the passengers of the endangered vessel be taken on immediately on his vessel. But to no avail. To no avail. Oh, wow. About an hour and a half later, guess what? The lights of the Central America sank with all on board losing their lives. Some of them could have been saved. Many of them could have been saved. Perhaps all of them could have been saved. Why did the captain make that decision? We don't know. And that's why your decision this very day is important. Do not put it off until tomorrow. your ship might go down with you on it. Don't put it off. Lives were lost, all because the captain thought they had plenty of time. Plenty of time. Tell me, do you think you have plenty of time? Do you think you'll put it off for another day? Oh, we're having a party next week. My brother's getting married. We're going to have a big bash. I'll wait until after that, and then talk to me again. Give me the gospel in, and then I'll make a decision for Christ. Will you? You're not promised the next moment in your life. Before I even finish with this message, I could be gone. You could be gone. Are you going to allow your salvation to just roam around in space and think it's going to be there just the moment you want it, you decide it? Do you think you have plenty of time to answer God's call for salvation? Do you? What if time runs out while you're asleep? While you're asleep. Or maybe sedated in some hospital room. What if? Or suddenly overwhelmed by unconsciousness. What if? What if you lose? You have no chance of being saved. And you know what that means? You're hellbound. You're hellbound. You can never be rescued. You denied what Jesus did at Calvary. You just waited until it was too late. You wanted it done your way. Are you willing? Are you willing to play rushing roulette with your soul? Huh? Tell me, do you feel confident that you're completely covered? Are you? Dare any of us tempt the master of our being? None of us. Don't do it. God will not be tried. God will not be tempted. God will not be put on hold. And God will not be mocked. Have you got that? God will not be tried, He will not be tempted, He will not be put on hold, and He will not be mocked. At the moment of our Savior's demise on Calvary's cross, His final lines were, "It is finished." What was finished? The payment for our sins, if we repent and believe in what took place at Calvary. Have you received Christ already, but you're just not walking with Him? Well, let me tell you something. If you're not walking with Him, then you haven't received Him. He's not there with you. You better do it all over again, but do it right this time. And it's so simple. Repent ye and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus had completed His very reason for being. He opened the door to heaven. He conquered our sin once and for all. Never to be repeated. Never. He gave Himself a ransom for all. You know, the Philippian jailer once said to Paul and Silas, and you can read the story of Philippian jailer, and you'll be encouraged by it, I'm sure. But the Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" This is when the jail the dungeons and everything were under an earthquake. And he was afraid everybody was going to get broken loose and set free and all run away, and he was going to kill himself even. And he said, "What must I do to be saved? I just told you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And this is what they said unto him, unto the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And thy house is important, for it has a double connotation. If we note verse 32 in Acts 16, what we read is, "And they," Paul and Silas, "spake unto him," the jailer, "the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." That's the prison house we're talking about now. And then look at verse 33. The word of God says, "He," the jailer, "took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes," their wounds, "and was baptized." Oh, he, the jailer, and all his, the prisoners, straightway. And when he, the jailer, set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house, it was done. It was complete. Now, we don't know the minds of all the prisoners, but this is given by God as an example of what we must do, because we, who have not yet received Christ, are prisoners in our own right. We are prisoners to sin, and we too must be set free, and our house. And their house. What a tremendous time it had to be for Paul and Silas in that prison. Don't forget, although we are not told how many prisoners were in this inner prison, don't forget their feet were in stocks. Verse 24, you can read that. So what did Paul and Silas do? What did they do? Did they moan and groan in their misery? No. Instead, Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God. Can you imagine having been beaten and bound? What they did? They sang praises unto God. Wow! Would you? If you were downtrodden, if you were about ready to die, would you sing praises unto God? I think most of us would be moaning the blues. As we look at the last part of verse 25, it says, "And the prisoners heard them," Paul and Silas, "heard them singing praises unto God." Wow! I don't think they were singing "It's a Long Way to Tipperary," no. And look what happened next, verse 26. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened." That's the prison doors, they were opened, and everyone's bands or shackles were what? Were loosed. Wow. Tell me, people. Have your shackles been loosed? Are you sure that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Or are you still a prisoner to sin? Are you still a prisoner to sin? Are all your sins under the blood now? Are they? What a tremendous story of salvation, the Philippian jailer. Not only is God able to save to the uttermost, but he's also able to save and willing to save from the guttermost. My friends, now is the time for the great preparation. Now is the time for the great preparation. Are you ready? Are you? Why not make sure today? It's the easiest thing you could do, but you must do it with your heart. Lord God, forgive me. I believe in what happened at Calvary. I accept what Jesus has done for a lousy sinner like me. Lord, please forgive me. Please include me into your kingdom when the time has come, Lord. Forgive me and help me to be strong in the days ahead as I wait for your coming. That's pretty simple stuff, isn't it? But you know, even simple stuff has to come from a contrite heart, a simple heart, a heart that is truthful. God loves you, and he's not willing that any of us should perish. And by perishing, we mean go to hell. And believe me, according to the Word of God, that's exactly where you will go. You will go to hell, unless you give your life over to Christ now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Now is the time of your salvation. I want to thank you for listening to this message today. I want to thank you because if it wasn't reaching somebody out there, then it would just go by the wayside. But you know, I went through a lot of this myself. But one thing I found, you know, I was living in sin, but when I came to the point in my life where my life didn't matter anymore, it took that for me to realize that Jesus was there knocking at my heart and saying, come on, come on, come on, I'm here, I'm here, I'm waiting for you. It took that. And I'm so glad he didn't give up on me. Because now I know if my last breath is taken even before I close this message, I know I'll open my eyes again in glory. Oh, tell me, are you prepared? Are you? I pray you are. I want to thank you for listening and ask that you stay tuned to the Just Jesus Network for lots more great messages from the Word of God. Thank you and may God bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.